Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Anti-government protest in Baghdad exploded into violence Friday as thousands of demonstrators charged into the international zone. Security forces unloaded heavy machine gun fire, stun grenades, and tear gas as the crowd surged forward. Protests are the culmination of weeks of mounting anger against the government, corruption, and inefficiency. Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi has come to symbolize the face of Iraq's failing government. Some of the protesters broke the security cordon and ran, that is, to Abadi's offices, determined to find him. He reportedly was not there. Search crews have found human remains now, along with the personal belongings of passengers from Egypt Air Flight 804. Airbus A320 disappeared into the Mediterranean on Thursday while headed to Cairo from Paris. 66 people were on board. On whether terrorism caused that crash, VOA spoke with security specialist Sajan Gohel of the Asia-Pacific Foundation in London.
If this is a terrorist attack, it is a game changer in terms of how we travel in the future, because it would mean that there was a problem at the Paris end, which would then mean that there's going to have to be reevaluation as to security procedures, and that will have a knock-on effect worldwide.
France's foreign minister on Friday rejected widespread comments that terrorism is to blame. Meantime, aviation experts warning against speculation. U.S. military is dismissing a Russian proposal to carry out joint airstrikes against al-Qaeda-linked terrorists in Syria. Washington suspended all military ties with Moscow following Russia's invasion of Ukraine and annexation of Crimea. This is VOA News. Afghan provincial officials say an Islamic State commander has killed 11 of his fellow firefighters in eastern Nangarhar province. IS had established a footprint in a number of Nangarhar districts. Its fighters have launched multiple attacks on government security checkpoints, and the group has engaged in fierce clashes with rival Taliban militants in the province. Afghan and NATO forces recently launched cleanup operations in some areas that have cleared off IS fighters. But despite the claims by Afghan authorities to have weakened the group, fighters remain active in the province. World Health Organization confirming the strain of Zika virus now circulating in the Americas and linked to brain abnormalities in babies is present in Cape Verde. WHO's Executive Director Bruce Aylward says they do not advise a ban on trade and travel to the islands.
The idea of travel restrictions, that fits in the bucket of seductively simple but stupid solutions. They don't work. And what you do is hugely complicate the ability to help a country that's already been hit by this thing to actually manage it.
WHO says the strain in Cape Verde is almost likely imported from Brazil, the epicenter of the epidemic in the Americas. It appears to be getting hotter, at least for the month of April. Lisa Schlein has details.
The World Meteorological Organization has issued a number of alarming reports on the state of the climate in recent days. The report on record-setting temperatures indicates April marked the 12th month in a row in which temperature records have been broken. WMO spokeswoman Claire Nullis says this is the longest such streak in 137 years in which records have been shattered.
What's particularly concerning is the margin which these records are being broken. They're not being broken, they're being smashed.
The U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, reports the combined average temperature over global land and ocean surfaces for April was 1.10 degrees Celsius above the 20th century average. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Leading U.S. gun lobby, the National Rifle Association, has endorsed Republican Party presidential candidate Donald Trump, and he responded by saying that he would not let the NRA members down. Trump told the group's convention in Kentucky that Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton wants to abolish the Constitution's Second Amendment, which gives citizens the right to bear arms. Clinton has said she supports the Second Amendment. Get more news by going to our website. You can find us at voanews.com. I'm Steve Norman in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Les Davis here. Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with the music makers, as I give you a special presentation on this edition of Jazz America called Each One Must Teach One. There simply is no substitute for a more established veteran artist teaching a younger artist the tricks of the trade, the little lessons that will help them grow as a musician. In the world of jazz, there is a myriad of stories of older artists teaching younger artists, and we're investigating that on this edition of Jazz America. Later this hour, Gary Burton joins us again, the master of the vibes, who taught at the Berklee College of Music in Boston for a number of years, has had a number of fantastic guitarists that he's worked with and discovered, among them Julian Lage, who we'll be hearing from later this hour. Also, V.J. Iyer now is a professor of the arts at Harvard University, teaching younger artists the tricks of the trade in that prestigious college. So coming up, music from V.J. Iyer and some of his knowledge on the way, too. Let's begin, though, with the celebration of a birthday. On the 21st of May in 1972, the great bassist, composer, bandleader, and award winner, and now the musical director of the Newport Jazz Festival, Christian McBride, was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Let's enjoy some of his great work and an example of how he, as an established artist, was helping a young artist make their way in the beginning of their career, as he invited young master of the vibes, Warren Wolf, to be part of his band Inside Straight. From the album Kind of Brown, here's one of Christian McBride's finest compositions, Brother Mister, to begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America, as we wish a very happy birthday to Christian McBride. from his brand new solo release, Arclight. That is the young guitarist Julian Lage with a song entitled Harlem Blues here on VOA's Jazz America. Julian Lage got a big break in his career when he was discovered by Gary Burton, and he followed in the footsteps of the likes of Larry Carlton, Mick Goodrick, Pat Metheny, and others who've been guitarists in Gary Burton's bands. And he's been there for a number of years now on some of Gary's most recent and most popular releases. We'll hear some of their work together after we get the story from Gary Burton himself on how he discovered Julian Lage and continued with the great adage, each one must teach one. At the 2012 Detroit Jazz Festival, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, NARIS, the Grammy people, asked me to moderate a panel featuring Grammy winners Terrence Blanchard, Joe Lovano, and Gary Burton. Here's some of that conversation in that panel now.
Over the years, I played a lot of music by these three gentlemen that are here in our presence right now. Invariably, we think about the future of jazz. Well, the future of jazz is now in the hearts and souls of artists like you and the young folks that you employ. You were the young guns at some point, working with Art Blakey, working with Stan Getz, working with the guys you worked with in the beginning. And now, some of those young cats are now in your bands. That great Julian Lage you have, that incredible quintet you had with those young players, Esperanza, just a little puppy, and the kind of things that you guys have done to bring young folks into your bands and to learn from you now how important, we can't even say how important that is.
Mm, for sure.
I'll tell you a Grammy story. 11 years ago, I was watching the Grammy telecast. I was in the audience, actually, watching it. And there was a little segment talking about music education. And they had five kids who were like 11, 12 years old play a little musical numbers, a couple of classical violin players and then some jazz musicians and so on. And it all happened in about, you know, 5-6 minutes. And I'm watching this. And there's this guitar player, this kid who's 12 years old playing guitar, who sounded so, wow, so good. And I thought about it for a few days, and I called up the Grammy office, and I said, okay, who was the guitar kid in that band? And I got his name and his phone number, and I called his parents and him. It was Julian Lage.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
We started playing together the next year. When he was 13.
Wow.
And he's now 23 and
grizzled old veteran.
Has been nominated for a Grammy for his first album.
Yeah.
And
has
his own band and is doing great, lives in New York, still playing with me off and on. This is, you know, he was one of those great times. And I saw him on the Grammy telecast.
Wow.
I mean, who knew? You never know.
Yeah.
When you're going to find somebody, they'll walk up to you, or you'll hear them at a club, or somebody gives you a demo, or whatever, and things click every now and then, and you say, oh, this is somebody I could play with, and you know.
And here's Julian Lage not only playing on the song you're about to hear, but he wrote it as well for the Gary Burton album Common Ground. The song is Banksy on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you.
Banksy from Common Ground, Gary Burton's release, the song written by Julian Lage. And from the modern to the classic, back to 1939 we go, for music from the great clarinetist who was born on the 23rd of May in 1910, Artie Shaw, with the song Everything Is Jumpin'.
We'll be right back.
The amazing Artie Shaw, the great clarinetist and bandleader from the big band era, who was quite an innovator and, in many people's estimation, was a rival to Benny Goodman as the greatest bandleader and clarinetist in jazz of that day. He had an interesting story, too, in that he died at the age of 94 and retired from the stage and the studio from the time he was 44 years old. So he left us far too early, even though he passed away at that ripe old age of 94 years old, Artie Shaw. Well, we've got one of the great young keyboard players around today who's old enough and certainly learned enough to teach youngsters how to make jazz at a high level. V.J. Iyer coming up. But first,
I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com.
And here's a message that I've received from Robert Nsabiyumva, who wrote to me, "I used to listen during the weekends, like border crossings turn to midnight. I'm tuned. How may you please tell me when the Rwandan hour for Jazz America occurs? I want to listen so much. Jazz is my favorite show. I'm missing out now, Russ." Well, I wrote Robert back to give him the information on how he could listen online, and I also invited him to possibly get in touch with his local radio station to see if they might have changed the time that Jazz America airs in case he's listening on that radio station. I also air the Jazz America program and keep it posted all week long on my own Moja Radio website, M-O-J-A, M-O for modern, J-A for jazz. And if you'll write me an email, I'll be happy to give you that link as well. We want to make sure you have a chance to hear Jazz America wherever you are and whenever you want to listen. Now, let's get into a piece of music that's from English saxophonist Courtney Pine. It comes from his album Modern Day Jazz Stories, and it's right in the theme of this week's edition of the program. It's the song entitled Each One Must Teach One on Jazz America.
Thank you. Hey, this is Al Jarreau, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on Voice of America.
For a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. And all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to heed every call of your heartstrings that play soft and low. And all the night's magic seems to whisper and hush. And all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush.
Can I just have a moment dance with you, my love?
Can I just make some more romance with you, my love?
Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. Now I know, now the time is just right. And straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time I touch you, you just tremble inside.
And I know how much you want me back. You can't have it. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love?
Can I just make a small romance with you, my
example of a collaboration between an established artist and an up-and-coming artist. So you know that when Al Jarreau was invited to come in and sing with young West Coast vocalist Luba Mason, she learned immensely from singing alongside him in the studio from the album Mixtura, brand new release. That is Luba Mason, produced by bassist and former member of the Yellow Jackets Jimmy Haslip, on the Van Morrison classic Moon Dance, one of the jazziest pop songs ever created, in my humble opinion. This is Russ Davis, and now let's get further into the concept of each one must teach one. As young pianist, still young even though he's in his 40s, Mr. V.J. Iyer, award-winning keyboardist, bandleader, and composer that he is also a great educator, a professor of arts at Harvard University. Let's get some thoughts from him about jazz education from his perspective, and here's some of his latest work, the title cut from his album, Break Stuff, here on Jazz America. In August of 2014, at the 60th Newport Jazz Festival, I had a chance to speak to a number of artists, among them V.J. Iyer. How much is the educational aspect of things part of your life?
When I'm there, I try to just be the same person I am here. You know, I don't really put on a different hat or wear a different personality or anything. It's more that... basically what I just said about audiences, about trying to lead them somewhere they might not have expected. I mean, that's what we try to do with students too, and it's not in a patronizing way. It's like we're all there to learn together, you know, or discover things together. So you just put people in contact with certain stimuli, whether it's reading or compositional material or analysis of old recordings or just themselves, you know, and then have them work through that and discover something together. It's not that different, actually.
Go meet your public. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your artistry. Always enjoyable to see you and to talk with you.
Thanks for us. Thanks for having me.
in another classic example of each one must teach one. That is the father, Dewey Redman, in his last recorded effort from the year 2006 when he passed away, and his son, who he taught many a tenor saxophone lesson to, Mr. Joshua Redman. Playing together for the last time from the album Back East, Joshua Redman's release from 2007 in the song India, John Coltrane's classic. Now here's new music from harmonica master Gregoire Marais on Jazz America from VOA 1. from master of the harmonica Gregoire Marais, from his new release Wanted and his version of the Miles Davis classic Footprints. I wanted to give that to you because it's a great piece of new music, and also to tell you that next week here on Jazz America, we'll celebrate what would have been the 90th birthday of Miles Davis. He was born on the 26th of May, and we'll celebrate that fact with a special emphasis on the new film, Miles Ahead, starring and written by actor Don Cheadle. We'll also talk to Robert Glasper about making music for that motion picture and hear more examples of jazz on film on the next Jazz America. Russ Davis here. Join me, won't you?